actually. I'd love to invite you to take up your Bible. Maybe you've got one of the church Bibles, or your own one, or on a device, that's fine. We actually believe that God speaks through His Word, so we want to have that open in front of us, as I do as well, as we spend time unpacking this part of John's second letter to a church. Not exactly sure the church. His first letter was to a circular letter to a group of churches, but this one to a specific church that he's writing to about some specific issues. Well, I wanted to begin by speaking to you about the things that we protect. We all take steps to protect things, don't we? We all take steps to protect things. I'm thinking, for example, of my mobile phone. It's got a protective case on it. It's a pretty solid-looking protective case. Should we give it a test? There we go. That's happened many times before. It protects the phone in case I drop it, or one of the kids drops it, or someone drops it. In a previous job, I had to take out income protection in case something happened to me, and then I could continue to get paid while I was unable to work. So it was a protection. We take out protection for all sorts of different things. Well, who here's got glasses? Do you have a protective case for your glasses? Ah, most of you are nodding yes. Those of you who are nodding no have gone through 50 pairs of glasses. Possibly. You've got protective cases for all sorts of stuff. We've got protection for insurance, don't we? That's what insurance really is. You take out a protection in case something bad happens to your car or your house. We take steps to protect the things that we think are valuable and important. What about protecting our Christian life? How will you protect your faith, your Christian life? What steps will you take to protect it? That's our big question today. That's what John really addresses for these believers in this passage today. So let me pray, and I'll ask God that He would help us understand His Word, and in particular, what it is that we should take from protecting our faith. Let me pray. Father God, thank You for the chance to meet together this morning. Thank You that we can study Your Word. Lord, we ask that we would have a greater vision of who Jesus is, and a better understanding of who we are. And we ask, Lord, that this would result in us giving more glory and honor to You. Amen. So we're in the letter of 2 John, as we said at the beginning. So we're in the letter of 2 John, and this is a letter written by the Apostle John to a group of Christians, and they're in danger of being swayed or being persuaded by some false teaching that has come into their midst. In fact, it's actually come out of them, gone out there, and it's in danger of coming back in. So a group of Christians has broken away, actually no longer being Christians. They've fallen into false teaching. They believe something different, and they've come back in. And John writes, because he wants the believers in this church to have confidence in the message they first heard, the truth of Jesus and the gospel and the reality of who He is, and in particular that He has come in the flesh, that He really is real, and he wants them to have a solid and authentic faith. That's what he wants for them. He knows these Christians, and he wants them to grow in their faith and understanding of Jesus. Last week, in the second letter of John, the first six verses was really talking about, I guess, some of the positive things. He said to them, you need to know the truth, you need to know Jesus, you need to know the reality of that, and you need to let that truth lead to love. That's the mark of a real, authentic Christian, that truth would lead to love. But now in verse 7 to 13, or verses 7 to 11 really, he turns to address some negative things, and he brings out some warnings. And he starts by saying, watch out for denying Jesus. Watch out for denying the truth. Watch out for denying the reality and the purpose of Jesus. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Warning, warning. That's what he's saying. Warning, warning. So here's the problem. Here's John's concern. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, and their problem is that they don't believe They don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. They don't believe that he's really real, if you like, that he really was a human. They don't believe in the incarnation. And notice how John describes them as deceivers and antichrist. Those who are trying to deceive God's people from the real Jesus. Those who are trying to lead them astray, directly lead them away from God, the true God. Antichrist, that's exactly what it means, antichrist, against Christ. Those who teach a false message, these antichrists. This is a strong, this is strong words, isn't it? Strong language. Deceivers, antichrists. These false teachers are those two things. And this has serious implications. And John is concerned. That's why he's writing to them. That they might be led astray by something that's not true. In May this year, the Flat Earth Conference was held in Australia. Well, attempted to be held, as I read this article recently. Attempted to hold the Flat Earth Conference. There was one in the United States. 700 people showed up to the Flat Earth Conference. So the Flat Earth Conference is basically the people who think the Earth is flat. It's not actually spherical, a sphere. The conference, as I read about it, kind of broke down, really. Two guys were organising it. They couldn't agree on what they wanted to do. They had a bit of an argument. One guy left, and then one guy met up kind of for drinks after work, I think, with a couple of other people, and that was the Flat Earth Conference in Australia. Well, who would be fooled into thinking like that? I mean, we've seen pictures, haven't we, from space of the reality of the Earth's shape. Would you be fooled into thinking that like that? Well, that actually is what John wants to remind his readers about. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by something that's not true. Don't be fooled by something that's not true. Because perhaps these people were very persuasive. These false teachers were very persuasive. What they were saying, you know, with all the stuff that goes along with it, people were in danger of actually going, oh, I'm not sure of the truth. Maybe these guys have got it right about Jesus. Maybe he isn't who he says he is. John writes to say, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You know the truth. You've had it from the beginning. You see, if Jesus Christ hasn't come in the flesh, then that's not the true Christ. And all the promises that Jesus makes about this life and the next life, they're all fake. They're not true, because it's not the true Christ. And how do you combat these deceivers? Well, you know the truth. Jesus is who he says he is. And they know him, and so they need to remain steadfast, faithful, grounded in him and God's commands. You see, if you believe the false Jesus, if you believe the false Jesus, then you are denying the real Jesus. If you believe the false Jesus, you're denying the real Jesus. And he reminds them to watch out that you don't believe the fake Jesus and believe the real truth in Jesus, and that that affects your life and that you will follow him. Watch out for denying Jesus. That's his first warning. You'll need to know the real Jesus for starters, and these believers did know the real Jesus. Like I pray each person here does, know the real Jesus. And so watch out, is John's warning. Watch out that you don't go after something that's not real. And that's exactly where he goes next. He says, watch out you don't lose what you have. Watch yourself. Watch out that you don't lose what you have. Look at verse 8. He says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both Father and the Son. See the warning here? Because of the deceivers, watch yourselves. And it's a warning for all of them together, both John the elder and those who have heard his teaching. Together they are to look out for one another, not to throw away what they have worked for, so they won't lose what they've had from the start when the gospel message came to them, so that they may have the full reward. Watch yourselves, because you can lose the reality of the truth. That's what he warns them against here. Now, what is this reward, this full reward? Is he talking about kind of working? We've worked our way for salvation. No, it's not a work salvation. Because in fact, in John 6:29, Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he has sent." Believing in the true God. Believing that Jesus is the one who offers salvation. Believing that's in him real life is found. Trusting in him. And then that will then result, as John said in his first letter, in a life that's transformed. That'll life result in a life that loves one another, that demonstrates God's love to other people. But he's saying, look, remain in it. Stay in it. Don't be led astray. He's saying if you continue down this wrong teaching, if you actually follow after it, if you embrace it and say it's true, then it will rob you of the reward, the eternal reward, future eternal reward that is yours in Jesus, in the real, true Christ Jesus. So this danger kind of flows through everything. Corruption of their beliefs, that will result in their behavior changing, and that will lead them away from God. That's a significant thing. And this is what he says in verse 9. See, the danger is that you go on ahead. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. Another way of saying that is go on ahead is to run ahead, innovate, find something new. Find a new idea and go with it instead of continuing in the true teaching of Christ. And he contrasts that by saying those who don't have Christ, well, they'll run after those things. But those who do abide in the teaching, well, they'll actually have God. They will have the Father and the Son. Everyone who innovates goes on and does not remain in the teaching, comes up with some new teaching that Jesus actually didn't come in the flesh, that actually he wasn't a man. And that affects everything. Now, we're in a world that kind of innovates all the time, aren't we? Innovation isn't bad. You know, we get a new, there's a new dishwasher model coming out, or a new car model coming out, or something new coming out, or new. It's all over the place. Always something new. Grass is always greener on the other side, all that sort of stuff. There's new stuff happening. John here is saying, no, the new stuff isn't the true stuff. The new stuff's not true. That's a problem. So you remain in what you first heard. Watch out you don't lose what you first had. The good news of Jesus. Watch out for that. Now the rest of Scripture reminds us that God's grip on those he calls into his family is secure. We don't have to doubt about God keeping his end of the bargain. God calls those who are in his family and he holds them for all eternity. But these warnings here are a reminder and a serious reminder to protect what you have. Watch out that you don't lose the gospel and go after something else. That's a real concern. That's a real reality for those who've walked a Christian life for a little while and seen those who were strong in the faith at one point not so strong anymore. Now, this is written, John is writing, obviously, directly against some false teaching that's coming into the church. But there are lots of indirect false teachings around today, aren't there? The message that we receive from the world. It's not directly, but it does lead away from God. The idea that you are the most important person in the universe. That the world revolves around you. That you can kind of make up your own belief structure. That the truth is however you want to define it. Indirect false teaching that leads away from the true God, saying that Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life, that there are many ways to God. Watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for. Hold fast to the teaching of Christ. That's what John's saying here. Watch out. And then finally, he begins to speak about hospitality. Hospitality done right? Who should we welcome and why? a warning against hospitality? What's he saying in these verses? What's he saying in verse 10? What's he saying there? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. What's he saying here? Are we meant to be bad hosts? Bad hosts and just close the doors? Anyone who's kind of doesn't bring a message that doesn't fit with Jesus, maybe they're not even a believer, we just close the doors. So no thanks. Can't have anything to do with you. I mean, we do have our little tribes, don't we? Even in churches, even in any sort of groups, we have our little tribes. We have the people that we like to relate to. They think like us. They have the same sort of passions and hobbies as us. They like to do the same things. In school, if you remember, it was the sporty people. They were all together. It's the nerdy people. They kind of hung out together and played chess or something. The drama people, they liked acting and all that sort of stuff. Maybe there's some other people as well, other groups in there. And you never got an invite maybe to those groups. They're all kind of separate. Is that what John's talking about? We kind of just got to keep in our little separate world here as Christians and look after ourselves and like anyone else. No thanks. Is that what he's saying? I don't think so. I think the key part of the verse is, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So we need to work at understanding a little bit of the context here. As he warns them against the deceivers looking for validation and support, and they are not to offer them this validation of their teaching, and to say, oh, it is actually true, or support for them in this teaching. That's what he's saying. This is not a call to deny people entry into your house who don't follow Jesus. You see, back in this time, if someone invited a visit into his house, it was a sign of validating that person. In fact, if you were unknown in this time, then you would need to get some sort of recommendation from someone else before you travelled from town to town, and that recommendation would go with you and that person would accept you into their home. Most people weren't keen to stay in inns or that type of thing because of just safety. And so you would get a recommendation and go and stay with someone who would vouch for you. On top of that, the church was meeting in people's homes. So having them in your home could also mean that they were participating in the church gathering. So the context seems to suggest that there was more going on here than just providing hospitality. It was, if you like, giving the stamp of approval to their teaching. The green light saying, this teaching's okay by me. And these false teachers are looking to make their way into people's homes. This is their purpose. Their direct purpose is to make their way into people's homes for the sake of spreading a false message. That's what they're trying to do. And so John warns against welcoming them in for that reason. Their sole purpose in coming to you is to bring you a message that's not true. And so we need to remember that these Christian believers who John is speaking to are in danger. They're in danger of being led astray by this false teaching. So naturally, John would say, well, don't invite these false teachers into your home because they're going to tell you the message that is not true, and I want you to remain true. And if you don't believe the true Jesus, then this is going to endanger your whole salvation and the way then that you live. It's not a direct kind of command not to offer hospitality, because we go back to the Gospels and the life of Jesus, don't we? And what does he do? He visits people in their homes. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, invites him into his home. I'm coming to stay with you, says Jesus. I want to hang out with you. You're the unclean tax collector, the bad guy on the scene, and I'm going to come and hang out with you. But here John's warning about a particular situation, a particular danger, and particular people who've got a very specific agenda. And he's warning them not to welcome these people and their teaching. In other words, don't let their influence get a hold of your life. Don't let their influence get a hold of your life so that you're going off in the wrong direction. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive them into your house or give them any greeting. So the greeting here is an affirmation of the teaching that they bring. What does this mean for us? What does this look like for us? That's the big question. Is he talking about personal friends who don't know Jesus? Are we not to invite our friends over who don't know Jesus? Or other people into our house? Someone from another faith? Or a non-Christian family member? Are we to close the door on them and say, no, you're not to come in? Are we meant to refuse entry for them? Don't give them a greeting? Well, I hope you can see that's not the specific situation that John is speaking into here in this passage. I think a more relevant one for us would actually be a group or a person who's bringing a direct false teaching. I'm thinking here of the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. What's their purpose? To bring you a message that's not true about the real Jesus when they knock on your door. See, it would be like me inviting a Jehovah's Witness in and offering them support or encouragement for their cause. That's really what he's saying. Invite them in and offer them encouragement and support for their cause. That wouldn't make sense, would it? It's not like we're going to invite a Mormon preacher up here to speak to us. Now, you may invite them in to debate them, while not being uncivil or rude to them, but you're not going to offer your support for their cause and offer to pray for their ministry or support them financially, are you? In fact, John says in 3 John 5-8, he does call to support fellow workers who are faithful in the truth. That's a valid thing to do, to support those who bring the truth, the message of Jesus. Yeah, you can support them. But those who are directly against the Christian message, the Christian truth, then we're not to offer support to them. That kind of just makes sense, doesn't it? That just makes sense. So this is not to do with our non-Christian friends or family. It's not to do with those who are from perhaps from other faiths, but it would be to offer support to them in whatever form that is. And John's warning against the particular situation in his day, but we need to be warned as well in our time. You don't want to put yourself in a position of danger to your faith. I've heard of people saying, look, when a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door, I mean, what do we do? Some of us just ignore the knock, do we? Do you open the door, you have a chat with them? But some people, it's actually too daunting for their faith at some point. When the knock on the door comes, I don't feel equipped. My faith will be shaky if I haven't engaged them in a conversation. If that's the case for you, then it's probably better to open the door and say, look, I love the Lord Jesus, the real Lord Jesus. I just don't want to talk to you today. And that's okay. And close the door. If it's going to be a problem for your faith, then don't do it. If you're equipped, though, to speak about Jesus, then that's fine. Go and do that. Speak about Jesus. But the warning here is not to offer support or recommendation or to affirm their teaching. It's a warning not to welcome these people and their teaching, and don't let their influence get a hold of our lives, which is what John's been warning. Well, it's some challenging stuff, that's for sure. And John's really kind of challenging those believers, like God's word challenges us today, to protect what matters in the Christian life, to protect your faith, to take steps in doing that, to take steps in protecting your life for Jesus. So what steps will you take to protect your faith? What steps will you take? What does it look like? Obviously, it looks like those things, doesn't it? Not denying Jesus. Don't lose what you've worked for. Stay with it. And the particular hospitality thing, don't affirm something that's not true. Don't support a false cause. But we'll need to be encouraging one another as we do that. As we see someone perhaps think about going after something that's not true. A brother or sister who we see going, you know what, they're struggling. They're in danger. They're in danger of walking away. It's our job together to make sure that they don't lose what they've worked for, the salvation, the eternal reward that's on offer for them. That's our job, the body of believers. We're to be on our guard against teaching that undermines who Jesus is. We're to look out for thinking, both out there and in our hearts, that says there's got to be better stuff on offer than Jesus, and I need to chase after that. We've got to be alert about that. We need to hear the warnings, as hard as they are, as challenging as they are, or perhaps as how kind of far off they seem to you, and it's like, that's not me, that's not a danger for me. But we all go through difficult times. We all struggle with things. There's always battles. And the season you're in now might not be the season you're in down the track. When you are having these issues, when you are thinking, gee, can I trust Jesus? Can I really follow him? Is he really real? And so we need God's help as we battle with that, as we strive to follow the living, true Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that it is. Thank you for the practical way that it teaches us. We thank you, Lord, for your message to us today. Lord, we ask that we would be people who would forever hold on to the truth of Jesus. That we would not be in danger. That we would have our eyes open to not denying him and the reality that he really did come and that he really does offer us the way to salvation. Lord, help us hold on to that, to not lose what we have, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would help us do that by your Spirit, that you would work in us. And if there's people here, someone here today, Lord, who is feeling a lack of confidence in the faith, we ask, Lord, that you would restore that confidence to them. We ask, Lord, as well, that you would help us be discerning about what things we affirm and what support we give to them. And those things that are false, that are against the gospel, Lord, we ask that that would be clear to us. Father, we ask for your help in all these things. In Jesus' great name, amen.